The Yeshiva Gedol of Johannesburg proudly presents the Wednesday evening shiur, covering the Parashas HaShavua, the Yomim Tovim, and other special topics as delivered by its founder and Rosh HaYeshiva, Rabbi Israel Chaim Goldfein, Zichrono Livrocha. Details regarding how to order additional shiurim follow immediately after the conclusion of the shiur.
This week's Parash is Parashas Voskanon. In Voskanon, in Dvorim Vov, Pasuk Dalet and onwards, we have the Shema Yisrael, which is a very, very fundamental number of psukim in the Torah. Shema Yisrael, Hashem Elokeinu, Hashem Echad. Where it tells us that of the Achdus, of the oneness of HaKadosh Baruch Hu. Then it states, "Be'after Eis Hashem Elokecha, b'chol levavecha, b'chol nafshecha, b'chol me'aydecha." Then it tells us of the mitzvah of Avas Hashem, that we must love HaKadosh Baruch Hu with our entire heart, our entire life, and our entire wealth. And then the Torah states that these things should be on our hearts all of the time. And then we have the Pasuk in Pasuk Zayin, Vishinantam Levanecha, that you shall teach your children this. V'dibarta bom, and you shall speak with them in these words. V'shivtecha v'vesecha, when you dwell in your houses. V'lechtecha v'aderech, and when you go on your way. V'shachbecha v'kumecha, and when you lay down and you get up. Now, this posuk v'shinantam levanecha, this is a source, it's one of the sources, that of the mitzvah asay, the positive commandment, lelamed es habonim, that we are obligated to teach our children, to teach our children Torah. Rashi brings, firstly, vishinanto means loshon chidudu, shia mechudadim beficho. Chidud means that it's something that should be very, very sharp. Where you should teach them in a way where they understand it very clearly, very sharply, not confusion. If someone would ask someone, he would be able to answer immediately. Then when it states Levonecho, Rashi tells us Lavdavke, it doesn't mean only your children, but Elo Atalmidim. It means students. Mishinantam Levanecho, it's a mitzvah to teach. It's a mitzvah to teach students. Motzine b'chol mokom shatalmidim kruim bonim. So why does it say then Mishinantam Levanecho, you shall teach your children? Because the talmidim, your disciples, are called children. So when the Torah tells us that you should teach your children, it means Talmidim, your disciples. It's interesting that the proof that Rashi brings to this, he's bringing this from the Sifri, that disciples are called Bonim, is from the Pasuk, Bonim Atem Lashem Elokeichem. Israel are considered children to Hashem. And my very good friend, Rev Elimelech Mela Shlitum, who often visits here from Yerushalayim, he brought to my attention something very, very good observation. We know that Klal Yisrael is called Bonim, Bonim Atem Lashem Elokeichem, Bonim Lamokim, that we are called sons of HaKadosh Baruch Hu. But generally we assume we are called sons of HaKadosh Baruch Hu because he chose us more than the other nations. That's not true, Rashi said. That's not why we're called Bonim. We're called Bonim, we're called children of Hashem, because he taught us Torah. And since he taught us Torah, therefore we are his Talmidim, we are his disciples. And disciples are known as Bonim, as children. See, and that's what Rashi is saying. He brings the proof that the Talmidim are called Bonim from the fact that we are called Bonim L'Hashem Elokeichem, that we are called Bonim to Hashem. And we see, therefore, that why we are called that, because we are his Talmidim. He taught us Torah. We are his disciples. Therefore, we see disciples are called Bonim. The Rambam brings in the beginning of Hilchos Talmud Torah, he brings these halachos. And he begins Hilchos Talmud Torah by telling us. First he says, who's exempt from the mitzvah of Talmud Torah? But then he states that even the ktanim, minors, are exempt from the mitzvahs of Talmud Torah. A minor, a kotan, is exempt from all mitzvahs. Kotan labane mitzvahs ninu. Not until they are reached the age of a major, 13 years old. He says, nevertheless, kotan oviv chayvil lamdei Torah. A minor, father, is obligated to teach him Torah. And he brings, limaritem eisam es beneichem ledaber bom. He brings it from a different bosuk. This is in the second parsha of Krishma. Maritem Esam is Benechem Ladaber Bom. Then he writes, just as one is obligated to teach his children, Kahu Chayv Lamer is Ben Benay. He's also obligated to teach his grandchildren. Shenehmar, and he brings from another pasuk, Veidatem Levonecho Levnei Vonecho, that you shall make known the Torah to your sons and your sons' sons. So he's given us two halachas so far. You have to teach your son, you have to teach your grandson. Then he writes, it's not only exclusive to your son and grandson, but every chacham, everyone who knows Torah, is obligated, is obligated to teach students, even though they are not his sons or his grandsons. Shenemar, and then he brings from our pasuk, v'shinamtem levonecho. Mipi hashmur lomdu bonecho elu talmidim. And when it says bonecho, so the Chazal, the sages, have told us that bonecho means disciples, shatalmidim kruim bonim, and so forth. Okay. Then he asks, so why then didn't the Torah write talmidim? Why did it write bonim? Lahagdim, for priority. First one must teach his sons, then his grandsons, and then all talmidim. So this is basically what we're saying here from Rashi, except that the Rambam is learning this from all of these halachas from three different psukim. The it's worthy to note that this said a father is obligated to teach his son Torah, or to teach other children Torah. And this, as we see, is a very, very major mitzvah. This is limited to Torah, not to mitzvahs. This means to teach them the Chumash, say Mikra, to teach them the Mishnah, and whatever they are able to understand, the understanding of the mitzvahs. But not to teach them the actual performance of the mitzvah. We have another mitzvah, which is called Chinuch HaBonim, Mechanech Esom. There is where we teach them how to perform the mitzvah. That mitzvah is not Min HaTorah, the Gemara tells us. That's not an obligation from the Torah. That's an obligation from the Chachomim. That's an obligation, so they should be rogel, they should be well acquainted with the performances of mitzvahs, so by the time they reach bar mitzvah or bas mitzvah, the whole Torah doesn't fall upon their shoulders at one time. See? So that the Gemara says, you teach him on Pesach how to eat matzah, that he must eat matzah. See? You teach him about kashrus, that he must eat only things that are kosher. You teach him when he's able to do the mitzvah, you teach him how to take a lulav, and so forth, how to sit in a sukkah. But that's not what we're speaking about. See? And that's not a mitzvah min ha-Torah. What we are speaking about is learning with him the actual Torah. See? The Chumash, the Mishnah, the laws of the Torah. Now, the Rambam in the Sefer HaMitzvahs, Mitzvah Zesi Yud Aleph, says as follows. Shetzivonu lilmei Torah ulalamdo. We are commanded to study Torah and to teach Torah. V'zehu anikra Talmud Torah. And this is what is called in every place Talmud Torah. V'uamru, and this is what Hashem said, v'shinantum levanecho. You shall teach your children. We also learn from here that we are obligated to study Torah ourselves. But in this Rambam, there's a very great chidush. We see something very unique. We know there are two mitzvahs, one to study Torah for yourself, and one to teach Torah to the children or to others. But the Rambam says, this is what's called Talmud Torah. Both mitzvahs together, Zehu Anikra Talmud Torah, is called Talmud Torah. Generally, we understand that Talmud Torah is the study of the Torah. Teaching, that's another mitzvah. The Rambam says no. The study of the Torah means the study and the teaching of it. If one studies and he does not teach, he lacks in the mitzvah of Talmud Torah, in the mitzvah of the study of the Torah. Now why is that? So the answer to that is because the mitzvah of studying Torah is to bring the light of the Torah into this world. When a person studies Torah and he understands a word of Torah, a sentence of Torah, he is bringing a light from higher worlds, because the Torah preceded this world, into this world. When he brings it into himself, this is the mitzvah of Talmud Torah, but this is limited. The light is limited to himself. And Torah has no limitations. Therefore, when he teaches it to others, this is just a continuation of that mitzvah. Because the mitzvah is to bring the light of Torah from the higher worlds into this world. And therefore, first he must learn it himself, but he cannot limit it there. Then from there, he must extend it to others, because Torah has no limits. This mitzvah that we are speaking about, Vishinantim Levanecho, is not just one of the 613 mitzvahs. This is actually the foundation. It's the most fundamental mitzvah of the whole world and of Klal Yisrael. Why do we say this? Because we find that HaKadosh Baruch Hu, he said that HaKadosh Baruch Hu was Bachata bi Avraham u'bezarei. He chose Avraham and his seed to give them the responsibility of the Torah amongst all of the nations. All of the nations he gave only a few mitzvahs to, while Klal Yisrael he gave 613. Ubachal to be Avram ubezarei. And that this Torah must be the fundamental, the foundation of the world. Now why did he choose Avraham? Why didn't he choose Odom HaRishon, the first man? Why didn't it say Ubachal to be Odom ubezarei? Or why didn't he choose, Odom had a son who was very righteous, Shem. Why didn't he choose Shem? Ubachal to be Shem ubezarei. Or there were a number of great people and righteous people before Abraham came onto the scene. There was Noach. Why didn't he choose Nayach? So the Torah tells us in Parshas Vayera, in Perek Yudches Posuk Yudches, Kodesh Baruch Hu says, "Ki yodativ." This is speaking about when he's sending an angel to destroy Sodom and Gomorrah. He said, "I better tell Abraham. How can I conceal this from Abraham? Ki yodativ, because I have known him." Rashi says, "What does this mean? Loshen chiba kiruv. I have chosen Abraham. I have brought Abraham close to me." Because I know he will command his children and his household after him. And that they will guard the way, the path of Hashem to do tzedaka u'mishpat, righteousness and justice. Now, there the Torah explicitly tells us, why did HaKadosh Baruch Hu choose an Abraham? Adam was not capable of giving over the Torah to his children. Shem, who was a very, very great person, he and his grandson had a yeshiva. But they also were not successful in giving this Torah over to many people. And the same with Nayach. When it came to find who were the righteous in the generation, they couldn't even find a minion. Avraham was the one who HaKadosh Baruch Hu saw in him the guarantee that Torah will remain in the world, because he will make sure that it is given over to his children. He said, "This is why I have separated Abraham from all of the rest, why I have brought him close." And we find it's true. Because ever since Abraham, and Abraham, Yitzchok, and Yaakov, Torah has not been forgotten. Israel has always remained Israel with the Torah. So therefore, this mitzvah, Vishinantam Levanecha, that we must give over the Torah to our children, to our children's children, to the Talmidim, this is the most fundamental mitzvah of the entire Torah. Otherwise the Torah would have ended after one, two, or three generations. And the most fundamental mitzvah of the entire world. Because HaKadosh Baruch Hu said that if Torah doesn't come into the world and it doesn't last, then I will return the creation back to void, null and void what it was. So this is the mitzvah that we are dealing with. In another light, in a similar light, this mitzvah is very unique, because this is the Tchilas Hiskarvus and the Dveikus. This is the mitzvah Rishena. This is the first link that a person has with HaKadosh Baruch Hu. You take a child. Now, a child, as we mentioned, is not obligated from the Torah to do mitzvahs. He's not obligated either to study Torah, because he cannot be responsible for mitzvahs. But there is an obligation on his father and on others to study with him, to teach him. Through this mitzvah, this is the first link that he forges with HaKadosh Baruch Hu. The first link that a person forges with HaKadosh Baruch Hu is through the mitzvah Vishinantam Levanecha. Again, why? Because he doesn't daven. He doesn't do mitzvahs. The Torah didn't require him to do mitzvahs. And he doesn't have seichel to do the mitzvahs. What did the Torah require of him? The Torah didn't even require of him to study the Torah. The Torah required his father or others to teach him Torah. So this mitzvah is the first link that a human being has with HaKadosh Baruch Hu. The Maral mentions this. See? He mentions this, he says, Hi Harishena. This is the first stepping stone. Through this mitzvah that a person comes into contact with HaKadosh Baruch Hu. And I said, actually, I said in a similar light. See, why in a similar light? Because we are speaking of the foundation of the world. Just like this mitzvah serves as the foundation, because it wouldn't do any good to teach all the mitzvahs to an individual, 613 of them, Kol HaTorah Kula, if he's not going to give it over to anyone, because it would end with him. So the block which the world rests on is the fact that he will give it over. And that's the block, the first block that an individual has with contact with HaKadosh Baruch Hu, when someone teaches him the Aleph Beis, and someone teaches him how to read, and someone teaches him Mikra, Chumash, and Mishnah, and so on. That's the prime importance of this mitzvah. It's for this reason, possibly, we can say that the Rambam, he has a strange order. When he writes Hilchos Talmud Torah, he starts by saying, he doesn't start by saying that we are obligated to study Torah. He says, first, who's exempt from Torah? And then he says, but even though a kotan is exempt from Torah, Aviv Chayv Lelamdei, the father is obligated to learn Torah with him. And then he elaborates on that. Then later he says, Misha Lelamdei Aviv, if his father never taught him Torah, then Chayv Lelamdei Satzmei Kishiyaker. Once he's old enough to understand what's going on, then he's obligated to teach Torah himself. Now I would say just vice versa. I would say first you should tell me there's a mitzvah that I have to study Torah, and then you tell me there's a secondary mitzvah that I must teach it to someone else. The Rambam does it just the opposite. He says first he tells us the mitzvah that you're obligated to teach a kotan, a minor, and then he says if no one ever taught him, when he grows older he has to teach himself. So this could be the reason, because this is the mitzvah Rishena. This is the first mitzvah min HaTorah, the first link that a person has to come into contact with HaKadosh Baruch Hu. Because he has nothing else. And even if you teach him mitzvahs that the Torah didn't command us, that's a mitzvah d'rabbanan. See, chinuch mitzvah. That could be the reason for the order of the Rambam. Now, from here we see the uniqueness of this mitzvah, the greatness, but it has other uniquenesses, other greatnesses also. For example, there's a Mishnah Masechet Avos, Perek Dalet Mishnah Chof Aleph. Alisha ben Avuya Emer. Halemid Yeled, when you teach a child Lemahu Doima, what is this similar to? The Jay Ksuva Al Nir Chodosh. It's like writing with ink on a brand new piece of paper. Alemit Zokin, when you teach an older person Lemahu Deima, what is this similar to? L'djei Ksuva Al Nir Mochuk. This is like writing with ink on an old piece of paper that has been used and reused. Rashi says, Nir Chodesh Dvuka Shom Yofe Ve'ena Nimchak Le'elam. When you have a fresh, good piece of paper that was never used, so that ink is going to take hold and be absorbed wonderfully on that piece of paper, and it'll never be erased. Kacha lemet b'yaldusay ena shecheach le'ilum. The same thing, when a child learns something in his youth, it'll be imprinted in his mind where he will not forget it. Now we are referring to, Rashi says, in regards to shikha, memory. See, that's what it means. A new piece of paper, the ink will never crumble, The same thing, the imprint on the mind will not be forgotten. An old piece of paper, so the ink doesn't take hold that well, so eventually it'll fade. The same thing, something imprinted on the mind when we're older, it fades. And why did Rashi learn? Because of Zikor and Shikha. We're talking about memory. Because we can't say that we're speaking here about understanding. Because you can't say that when you teach a child something, he understands it better than when you teach a mature person. Because there we have just the opposite. The older the person becomes, the better his mind becomes in regards to understanding. So therefore, we're speaking here in regards to memory. And that's how the Maral also explains this. And from here we see a number of things. Firstly, we see that when you learn something, it actually causes an imprint on the mind. And by a young child with a mind is fresh, that imprint will never be removed. Old person learns something, it's on an old mind, and that imprint is not as strong, and it can be removed. Here's a few things interesting. Firstly, the Chazal knew that learning something makes an imprint on the mind. This is something that scientists have only recently come to the conclusion. And they did this through highly technical electronic tests. Well, they see that when you learn something, there's actually a physical change to the mind. But this is the Chazal knew. The Maral writes this because it says it's giving the example of writing with ink on a piece of paper, if it's a good piece of paper or if it's a used piece of paper, where the imprint doesn't take hold. That everything that we learn is imprinted on the mind. All of our experiences. And that's why when you learn Torah, it actually takes hold into the mind. A second thing we see from here is my machutin, Dr. Billy Levine. He's a person who has dedicated all 25, 30 years to the study of the brain. I asked him once, why is it so common that an older person, as he gets old, everybody starts complaining, the older people, or even middle age, that they can remember things that happened 20, 30 years ago, clear as day. But what they did 5 minutes ago, they forgot. Long-term memory and short-term memory. So he said the explanation is very simple, he told me. He says, you remember what happened 25, 30 years ago. Because that happened to you when you had a good memory. But what happens to you now, you're remembering that with an old memory. And therefore you can't remember it so well. And this is what the Chazal is saying. That when you teach a child, you're dealing with a clean piece of paper that will absorb the ink perfectly. And therefore he'll never be forgotten. When he's 80 years old, he'll remember that. Right? But when you teach an older person something, he's dealing with an old memory. Then a memory like a piece of paper that's already been written on and erased and written on and erased, and the ink won't be absorbed so well. So he'll be able to remember what happened to him 30, 40 years ago, but he's going to forget what happened to him yesterday. This is what it's telling us here. Now, so we see that there's another great maila in teaching children. The Gemara in Shabbos tells us, and the Chofala from a base, and the Sugi of Bama Malikim, and the Sugi of Chanukah, the Gemara is discussing a whole halacha. You light a Chanukah licht, and it goes out. Are you obligated to relight it? Or did you fulfill the mitzvah because you already lit it? And also, the Gemara is discussing, can you benefit from the light of the Chanukah licht? Like the Shabbos licht, it's a mitzvah to benefit from. Right? We use it to light up the house. But the Chanukah licht, can we use to light up the house? Or do you have to have other lights? And this is something you cannot benefit from. This is a discussion in the Gemara. So, on these halachos, Amru Rabbanan Kameda Abaya, they told Abaya what the halacha is in these cases. Mishmeid Rabbi Yirmiyah, in the name of Rabbi Yirmiyah. And Abaya wasn't impressed. Rabbi Yirmiyah was a contemporary of his. And he didn't agree. So he wasn't that impressed. So Le Kibla. No, he says, I don't agree, didn't accept it. Years later, Ki Osn Rabin. This was at Bogel. Years and years later, Rabin came from Eretz Yisrael to Bogel, and they started to discuss these again. And they told these halachas over to Abaya, Mishmeid Rabbi Yechanan, in the name of Rabbi Yechanan. No, Rabbi Yechanan was the Rosh Hashiva of all of you, of all of Eretz Yisrael, of Yerushalayim. When he heard it in the name of Rabbi Yechanan, then Kibla. Oh, then he says, I must agree with it, accepted it. Then he said, he started to have remorse. He says, "Ay." He says, it's my mazel that I only heard it now. Izakoi. If I had merited Gamirta Lishmaitzim Eikora, I should have accepted this from Ibirmiya years before. So the Gemara says, well, Gamre, what's the difference? Meanwhile, you've accepted it. So what's the difference if you accepted it now or you accepted it years before? He says, no, Nafgemina Lelgirsa Di Ankusa. It's a big difference if you learn something in your youth or you learn something in your old age. See, had I accepted it years before, and I would have impressed upon myself that these are the halachos, then it would make such an impression on me. A gifts or something you learn in your youth, you'll never forget. But now I'm an old man and I'm just accepting it. That's a different thing. And this is what is known as Girsa de Yankusa, Pirish Rashi, Miskayim Yesen, Mishal Zikna, which you learn in your youth will be more lasting to you than what you learn in your older age. So this is an additional Maila that learning what children have has. And there's more. The Gemara Masech to Shabbos, Perakol Kisvei Dav Kuf Yutes Omed Beis. Omer Reish Lokish Mishum Rabbi Yehuda Nesiyah. Reish Lokish said in the name of Rabbi Yehuda Nesiyah. Eino Olam Mishkayim Ele Bishvil Hevel Pihem Shel Tineke Shel Beis Rabban. The world is sustained only by the words of Torah that the children learn in the chadorim, in the cheder, in their school. Now, this is what Reish Lakish said in the name of Rabbi Yehuda Nesiyah. When a papa heard this, he was insulted. He says, you're telling me the world is sustained by the words, by the Torah of the children? And he said to Abaya, didi v'didoch mai, what about my Torah? What about your Torah? Why the Torah of the children? What about the Torah that's learned in the yeshivas? See? That's learned in the Bate Midrashim? That's learned in the Sanhedrin? Omalei, he answered, no, he says, I stand by what I said. Ein deme hevel peh, she ein beichet, level peh she yesh beichet. You cannot compare words of Torah that have no sin to words of Torah that are mixed with sin. Children have no sin because k'tanim lav b'nei einchin dinhu. Torah doesn't hold children responsible for what they do. They are minors, so they have no sin. Therefore, their words of Torah is Torah b'leichet. It's Torah without any sin. We have sin. Ein tzadik borer tzashi yaseh teva leyachto. There's no righteous man in the world that doesn't have some sin. Therefore, our words of Torah are mixed with sin. The two are not comparable. What does this mean? The Maral says something very deep on this. In the Siva Torah, Perek Yud, Torah sustains the world. Why? Because Torah is what we call Or. It's light. It's Metzius. It's a reality. Just like, for example, in the physical spheres, we know that the sun sustains the physical world. It nourishes the physical world. It brings light to the physical world. It brings warmth to the physical world. It brings growth to the physical world. The plant absorbs the sun, and from there it grows. So this light of the sun is physically sustaining the physical world. The world is not only physical. HaKadosh Baruch Hu infused it with a spirit, just like a person has a soul. And therefore, that is sustained by the spiritual light. And that's Torah. Torah Or. Now, the antithesis to this is chet, sin. Because the word chet in Hebrew doesn't actually mean sin. The word chet in Hebrew means lacking. Something which is lacking. And something which is lacking is just the opposite of light and sustenance. Something which is lacking is a void, is an emptiness, is cheshech, is darkness. That's why, for example, it states, what is Gehenna? Gehenna is an abyss of darkness, of nothingness, just opposite to the world. The world is creation. HaKadosh Baruch Hu sustains that creation with his light. Gehenna is the lack of creation. Therefore, it's darkness. And it's an abyss of nothingness. Now, when you teach Torah to older people, to adults, and even to great people who learn Torah, it's impossible that that Torah should be a Torah Shlema. It's impossible that that Torah should be perfect. Because in Tzadik Boras, Asher Yasa Teva Leyechta, there's no man without sin. So the Torah is going to be mixed into with hate, and you have two things that are exactly contrary with each other. You have the Torah, which is the sustenance of the world, and you have the hate, which is the darkness and the voidness of the world. And therefore that cannot sustain the world. But when you teach Torah to a child, a child is saying Aleph Beis Gimel Dalet, or Vayemar Hashem El Avram, Hashem said to Avram, these are Hevel Peh B'lei Chet. This is Torah without any hate whatsoever. And even though it's a Madrega Ktana, it's at a much smaller level than when Torah is learned by great people. True, but it's a Torah Shlema. It's at a much smaller level, but it's a complete Torah, because there is no hate. And therefore that can sustain the world. And that's what Reish Lakish said. He says, Ein ha'olam iskayim, the world is only sustained bishvil hevel piyam shel tineke shel beis rabban, because of the words which of Torah which come out of the children in the Chadorim. Even though it's a very, very Madrega Ketana, a small level of Torah, but it's a Torah Shlema. It's complete words of Torah. And that light can sustain the world. And the Papa said, what about me? What about you, Abaya? So he said, no. Our Torah can be very great Torah, but it's not a Torah Shlema. It cannot be perfect. And therefore our Torah is a mixture of Or v'cheshech. It's a mixture of light and darkness. How can light and darkness, a mixture of it, sustain the world? This is what he said. Comes out that we mentioned three great uniquenesses in the Torah of the Tinaikis of Beis Rabban, of the children. Firstly, this is the Rishayna, the Haskola. This is the beginning of a person's link to HaKadosh Baruch Hu. Secondly, it's a perfect Torah without chait. Thirdly, it's written on a near cholok. It's written on a fresh, clean piece of paper that will be miskayim la'ilam, that will not be forgotten. Gisadi and Kusa. Now, Kutis the Baral's Mavara, the Gemara, also on the Sechta Shabbos there, where the Gemara says, on the Posuk, Al Tigu Bimishichoi, do not touch my anointed ones. Elu Tinaikis Ubeis Rabban. These are the children of the Chadori. They are compared to the anointed ones. Why are they compared to the anointed ones? She says, because when we had vessels in the Beis HaMikdosh and we wanted to use them for something that was kodosh, holy, we had to anoint them first with oil, with shemen zayis, with olive oil. What would that do? That would bring their first kedusha, their first sanctity to these vessels. And that was called chinuch. Chinuch kelim. The same thing. You have a child. What brings kedusha to him? What brings sanctity? What brings his first sanctity to him? The first sanctity that's brought to him is when you imbue him with Torah, with words of Torah. And therefore, he's called Mishichoi, my anointed ones. That's why also, incidentally, why we refer to teaching children as Chinuch, Chinuch HaTorah. Now, this sanctity that you imbue a child with by teaching him the words of Torah, this is the first sanctity that a child has. This kedusha, this sanctity, is enormously great. Firstly, the first reason we mentioned, it's Torah b'lei chet. It's or without chesher, light without darkness. But there's another reason. This sanctity is greater than the sanctity of kedushas Beis HaMikdash and kedushas Yerushalayim. It's greater than the sanctity of Yerushalayim and the Beis HaMikdash. Now, how can we say such a thing? We all know Yerushalayim. We all know the Beis HaMikdash. The Gemara says, also in Shabbos, Vamarei Shlokish Mishum Erviyur Nesiyo. Same person. Ein Mevatlin Tinaikish Shel Beis Rabban Afil Lebinyan Beis HaMikdash. When it come time to go, the Melech HaMashiach will come. And he'll tell us all to come back to Eretz Yisrael. And it's time to build the Beis HaMikdash. The Rambam brings mitzvah al kol echod ve'echod, ish ve'isho. This is a mitzvah, essay, a positive commandment on every man and woman to go and help build the Beis HaMikdash. As it states, ve'osu li mishkon, you shall make for me a sanctuary. But the Gemara says, the melamde tinaikis, the teachers in the schools will not be allowed to go. They will not be allowed to go and help build the Beis HaMikdash. Why? Because the teaching of the children is greater than going to build the Beis HaMikdash. And therefore they will not be allowed to leave their classes to go. Ein mevatlin tinaikis shel Beis Rabban afilu lebinyan Beis HaMikdash. Now the Maral says, but why? See, why is it? He says, the answer is very simple. He says, what is the kedusha? What is the sanctity of the Beis HaMikdash? What is the sanctity of Yerushalayim? We take the kedusha, the sanctity of HaKadosh Baruch Hu, and he imbued that sanctity into the land of Eretz Yisrael. He imbued that sanctity into Yerushalayim, into the Beis HaMikdash. He says that's kedusha, which is on oretz, on etzim ba'avonim, that sanctity that goes into land, that goes into stone and wood. When you teach children Torah, you are taking that same kedusha. The Torah is the kedusha of Hashem, and you're infusing it into a person, into a child. See? And that's greater than taking that kedusha and infusing it into the stone and the wood of Eretz Yisrael. And he says it's for this reason that the Gemara says there, Omar of Kahano. Rav Kahana said, Lechor v'Yushalayim. He said, what was the reason why Yushalayim was destroyed? Because they did not concern themselves with the care of the Chadorim. He says, why? Because Yushalayim doesn't sustain the Chadorim. The Chadorim sustain Yushalayim. Not the kedushas of Yerushalayim that sustain the teaching of the children. It's the teaching of the children that sustain Yerushalayim. Because that kedusha that we infuse in a child, that's a greater kedusha than Yerushalayim. And from there comes out the sanctity of Yerushalayim. And when they did not concern themselves, they were negligent when it came to caring for the Chadorim. So Rav Kahana therefore said, Lechor v'Yushalayim el asul bitlai t'nekesh shel beis rabban. These are very, very great concepts. Now from all of this, what do we see? We see what a great role they play. The malamdei t'nekesh, the teachers. The Gemara brings in the first perek of Baba Basra, Dav Ches Amad Beis, it brings a pasuk from Daniel, Daniel Yud Beis, Umatztike harabim kekechovim leolam vaed. Those who bring merit to the many, the rabbim, they will shine like the stars forever and ever. So the Gemara says, who is this referring to? Elu melamdei tinaikis. These are the teachers of children. Kigein man, versus what kind of teacher? So brings Kigein Rav Shmuel Bashilas. There was a Rav Shmuel Bashilas who was a famous teacher. The Rav Ashkechei Rav Shmuel Bashilas Davakoy Beginse. Rav one day found him in his vineyard. Omalei Shafkis Lehemunaseich. He says, have you left your charges? Have you left those that were entrusted to you to teach? Why are you in your vineyard? He says, Omar Lei, he says, you should know how Tlesa Shnin de Lechazoi. It's 13 years since I've been that I managed now to get to see what's doing in my vineyard. For 13 years I didn't have time because I was so busy teaching. And even when I'm looking at my vineyard now to see what has to be done, my mind is on the tinaikis, what is needed by the children. Now, so he was the prime example of a teacher. Now the morale explains why are they considered like that? Those who teach are considered like the stars. He says, what is a star? He said, a star is a body which HaKadosh Baruch Hu gives light to in order that it should give its light to the world. He says, this is what the Malamed does with the child. The child is a body. He says, he has no light. The first light he gets is from the Malamed, from the one who teaches him Torah. And that light he will give back to the world. And midah keneged midah. Therefore, the malamdim themselves, matzdiki arabim, they're like kechovim le'olam bo'ed. They create stars. And this is why the Gemara says in Sanhedrin, in Perichelik Dafzad Kesamad Beis, Omer Eish Lokish Kolal Malamed Es Ben Chaveir Eteira Malin Ova Kosev Kilo Asol. Someone who teaches a child Torah, especially if he teaches Bet Haverai, someone who's not his own child, It's as if he has created him. And the Gemara brings the proof from the posuk in Chai Sora by Avraham and Sora. As a nefesh asher osu b'chorom. Avraham and Sora, we mentioned, what did they give to the world that the others couldn't? They gave the insurance policy. They said, we will guarantee the Torah will not be lost. How will you guarantee it? We will imbue it in our children so strongly that they will imbue it in their own children forever. It brings, it states that when they went to Eretz Yisrael, they took many, many, many followers with them. And those were those who they taught Torah. And it states, HaNefesh Asher Osu Bechorim, the lives that they created. Because you are creating a life. He's a person without any light. And you're giving him the soul. I'd like to mention one further Gemara. On this point, to show you how great the Melamdei Tinekes are. The Gemara brings in Bava Metzia in Asecher Sapeilim, Daf Pehi Omed Beis. The Gemara brings Reish Lakish have mitzayin ma'arta derabonan. Reish Lakish was going where many of the rabbonim, the great rabbonim, were buried, and he was trying to demarcate their graves. So we will know exactly where the graves are, and the Kahanim will know, so the Kahanim will be careful not to walk there. And he was able to locate and identify all of the graves that he was looking for. Kimot lemate Reb Chiya, but when he came to the cave where Reb Chiya was buried, he looked and looked and looked, and he could not find his grave. Now, he figured, he calculated, that if every grave I didn't have trouble finding, and Reb Chiya's I'm having trouble finding, it must be that Reb Chiya was on such a higher level than Reish Lakish. This is why I cannot find his grave. And this upset him, because they were colleagues. So Cholosh Daito got upset from this. Omar, he says, Ribeni Shalelam Leipipalti Teda Kemesai. He says, why is it that I cannot identify his grave? Was he so much greater than me? Was he mefalpel in Torah like I was? Reish Lakish said that I was the great debater of Torah. I would debate and argue until we brought the halacha out in its perfection. So was he so greater than me? Yotza Baskol, a voice from heaven came down and answered him. V'amr alei, Torah kemeisei pipalto, Torah kemeisei lady vatsto. And it answered that your pilpul was as great as Reb Chiya's. That's not the problem. But your harbotzis haTorah, your teaching of Torah to others, was not as great as him. And therefore you will not be able to locate his grave. See? When it comes to going into the greatest depths of Torah, pipalta Torah kemeisei, there was no difference between you and Reb Chiya. But hirbats the Torah kebeisei. But when it came to the spreading of Torah to others, no, that you don't, didn't come to him. And therefore you cannot locate his grave. Now the Gemara brings then, wants to illustrate what was so great about the spreading of the Torah of Reb Chiya. So the Gemara brings a case. It says, when Reb Chiya was alive, and they would get into very, he would get very into very hot arguments. You know, when the Talmidei Chachomim, it says they used to fight and argue over Torah, the walls would shake, because Torah was their whole life. They stood their ground. So when Rabbi Hanina and Rabbi Chia would fight over Torah, and they would get very, very angry with each other, that the other one wouldn't concede to him his point, in exasperation, Amalei Rabbi Hanina, Rabbi Chia. So Rabbi Hanina would say to Rabbi Chia, Bahadi didi kominsis, how dare you stand up against me? Chas v'sholem mishtach haTorah miYisrael mehadon alei mipilpulei. If Torah was ever forgotten from Yisrael, I would bring it back with my great pilpul, with my great argument and debating skills. Omalei, so Rabbi Chia would answer him, Bahadi didi kominsis, are you daring to argue with me? He says, the Abde leTorah leTishtach miYisrael. I would guarantee not to bring back Torah if it was forgotten, but I would guarantee that Torah would never be forgotten from Israel. See? So don't start up with me. So one day they asked him, how would you guarantee that Torah would never be forgotten from Israel? My Avidno? He says, I'll tell you. And here you see how far he was prepared to go to see that Torah was not forgotten. He says, if I would see that Torah is being forgotten from Israel, Azino Vishadina Kisna. He says, I would go and plant flax. I'd make a flax farm. Vigadilna Nisbe. And then I would harvest the flax, and from the flax I would make hunter's nets. Vitsaidina Tabi. And then I would go with the nets and I would catch deer. Umachinal Bisraeli asked me, Varichna Begilto. And then I would shech the deer. I would give the meat to poor Jewish children who are orphans. And I would take the skins and I would make parchment from it. And on the parchment, Kasfina Chamishi Chumshei. On the parchments I would write the Sefer Torah. Visalikna Lamasna, and I would go to a village, and I would gather up all the children. Umakrina Chamisha Yunuke Bechamisha Chumshe, and I would take 5 children, and I would teach them the whole Chumash. Umasnina Shisa Yunuke Shisa Sidre, and then I would take 6 children, and I would teach them each 1 Seder of the Mishnah. See? Evidently, the Chamishi Chumshi Torah, maybe he would teach every child 1 Sefer of Chumash, a different Sefer of Chumash, and then I would teach 6 other children, every child, 1 Seder of the Mishnah. V'aman Elohu, and then I would tell these children, I have to go now to another city. Ade Adono V'asino, until I come back, Akru Adodi V'asna Adodi. You sit and teach each other what the other doesn't know. And that's how I would see that Torah would not be forgotten to Israel. In other words, this is how far he was prepared to go. Therefore, Kodesh Baruch Hu told Reish Lakish, he says, you were mefalpel Torah as good as Reb Chia. But here, batz the Torah, you weren't prepared to teach Torah the way he was. And that's what the Gemara brings. It says, Godol Maisach here, how great the deeds of Reb Chia were. I just want to conclude with an interesting halacha to illustrate how important the teaching of Torah is. Firstly, Tosfos in Baba Basra, Daf Chof Aleph, Resham and Beis, Tosfos says that to disturb the teaching of the children is considered a psida lehodor, is considered a loss which can never be made up. And this has ramifications in halacha. And that's to disturb the teaching of the children, or if you teach them something which is in error, this is considered a loss which can never be made up. Why? So he writes, because the Eisa Shor Shemalamad Lehem Tos, because during the time when you're teaching them something wrong, him is battling. At that time, they're not learning proper Torah. And that time, which they weren't learning Torah properly, that's a time which is lost forever. See, that time can never be regained, because that's a time that's lost forever. Even if the next day you'll say, look, we'll make it up, but the next day you could be teaching them other Torah. But also, which we see in Hilchos Avelos, in Yoredei Siman Shin Pei Dalet, an Ovel, someone who is in Shiva Shemei Avelos, he sit in Shiva. So we know someone who sit in Shiva, not supposed to go out of the house, doesn't even go to shul, he's supposed to have dominion in his house. He's not allowed to wear shoes, he's not allowed to sit on a chair, he's not allowed to work, and so forth and so on. So in Sif Hei, Machaber says, what happens if you have, heaven forbid, children who are avelim? Children lost. They lost a parent, they lost whatever. See? Now, oh, excuse me. I must mention something else. One of the avelus that Adovel is not allowed to do is Talmud Torah. He's not allowed to study Torah. See, during the 7 days of avelus. Because it states, Torah is mesameach. It brings simcha to a person, and a novel is not allowed to engage in simcha. He can learn Dvorim Haroim, those things that tell about the tragedies of Israel and so forth and so on. Then he can learn, because that doesn't bring so much simcha to the person. But otherwise, he's not allowed to engage in Torah. So it states, what happens if you have Bonim Tanim, if you have young children who are Avelim? It says, Ein Lei Levatla Milimudim. You're not allowed to let them be idle from their Torah, because ein avelus l'ktanim, a cotton does not practice mourning, does not exercise dinim of mourning. The chachomim did not place that responsibility on him. Therefore, it's brought that by ktanim, if they are avelim. Now, they must carry on, they must go to school, and they must learn. That's brought that Chas v'Sholom, you should be mevatlem. Koshkein, how much more so, that the parents should not cause a disruption to the children's learning if they are availing. See, sometimes the parents might say, look, we're availing, and there's all kind of things to do now, this and that, I'll keep them home. See, that's brought, no, heaven forbid. That's one halacha that's brought. Then there's another halacha that's brought. It states that even though an adult is not allowed to engage in the study of Torah, im rabim tzrichim leilis lamed muter. But if he's needed to teach, if people need him to teach, then he's allowed to teach Torah. So the Shach brings. He says, Melamde Tinoikis, therefore someone who's a teacher of children, Yeshlaima Shadinan Kerabim Srichim Lai. That's someone who's needed. He would be allowed to teach. The Oud, the Melech has Ovatu, Kisha Tinoikis Betelim. If this teacher, see, has a class, and if he doesn't come to school to teach, so these children are going to sit idle. He says, firstly, then this is where the people need him. Secondly, this is a meleches ovid. This is something which will be a loss. There's a halacha, a special halacha, that if an ovel is experiencing a great loss, he is permitted to do work. So certainly then he would be permitted to teach, because this will be a great loss to the children if they don't learn. And the Taz brings also, the Taz brings from one of the previous Gedalim, he says, Varisi la Rabbeisai, Shohi Magidim Halocha Gimel Yomim, He says that he used to see from his rabbeisai, from the rabbonim, Rosh Hashivas, when they were sitting avelis, they used to say a shir after 3 days. Nearly, therefore, b'malamich yoho gamken lilmeir halochim talmira v'hagimulyonim zehav v'bechal rabim srichenlei. He says, therefore, certainly a teacher of children. Now he mentions after 3 days. After the third day avelis, a teacher of children must go. If there's nobody else to teach the children, he must go and teach his class. He says, why? And he quotes the Gemara on Shabbos. He says, if this is true by Rosh Hashivas or by Rabbonim, so then how much more so is it by children? Because Hevel Piyam Chovi Melim Ragdelim. Because the children's learning is more choshiv, is more choviv, is more dear to HaKadosh Baruch Hu than even the learning of the yeshivas. Ken aminu masechta Shabbos, like the Gemara said in Shabbos, in a day my hevel sheyesh bechet lein bechet. This is Torah without chet, while with others it's Torah with chet. So this is all where there's no one else to teach. Generally, though, if you get a substitute. Get a substitute, so he can sit Shiva. So you get a substitute. So it's interesting, it's brought from the Mashal. And Rav Shleimeger brings it, and the Shach actually refers to it. The Mashal writes, Umelabeti Naikis, Havikerabim Srichim Lei, a teacher is where others need him for Torah. He must go. Kosev Rashal Avshireish Rav Echa, Acher. The Rashal holds that even if there's another teacher, a substitute, now, he says the one who's sitting Shiva must go to the school and teach. Why? Because Afshiyesh Rav Echer, Acher, Heim Lo Ya'ayna Kol Kach Lifnei Rav Sheina Kavu Lehem. Because it's very well known that the children are not going to learn that well by substitute teacher, as they are accustomed to the regular teacher. And therefore it'll be a hefsi Torah. See? And therefore he paskins that someone who's sitting Shiva and he has a class to teach, he must go teach it. See? Now, so from all of this we see the greatness, see? The greatness of the teaching of Torah to children and the greatness of those who teach Torah to children. And we see to what extent the Chazal went to emphasize this and that it shouldn't be disrupted. So this is something we must take into consideration, where we must not neglect the Tinaikishul Beis Rabbim, the Chadorim, like it states by Yushalayim, Lechovi Yushalayim, this is one of the causes of the Churban, heaven forbid. And this is something that we're very far from today, though. Very far. Because it's commonplace that people, I mean, for at the drop of the hat, for meaningless reasons, they will keep children away from learning. They'll think, look, there's a bris. I want to take my child to the bris. Someone's coming in at the airport. And these things, like the Klipas Hashum, they are in importance to what we're speaking about. They are of no importance whatsoever. To give you an example of how far we are, the community here is basically from Lithuania. Lithuania was known in the last 100 years as producing the greatest yeshivas of the world. They didn't produce the greatest yeshivas in the world merely because they were talented. They produced the greatest yeshivas in the world because of the importance and the love that they attached to the learning of Torah. Mikot Nat Godel, from the greatest to the smallest. This is something my Rebbe from Gifta would always tell me. When he went to Lithuania, when he went to Telz, this was, he was struck with this. Wasn't struck by the great yeshivas. That also he was impressed. But what caused these yeshivas to be great? He says of the importance, the priority, the love that the people attached to the yeshivas and to the learning of Torah. And we're not talking about the rabbonim, but to the smallest person, see, even the plain shoemaker, see, by them this was the world. And to give you an example, I've heard not once but a few times, right? And one was a colleague of mine in Tel Yeshiva who had learned in Lithuania. Well, they went to yeshiva. You know, today you come to yeshiva, this is, seems to be all over, the at the drop of the hat, a person takes a weekend off or takes this off and goes home. He went to yeshiva, and in the middle of the term was time for his bar mitzvah. See, for his bar mitzvah. So he was thinking, he'll go home and they'll have the celebration of the bar mitzvah. His parents and the Rosh Yeshiva told him, don't come home. You stay in the yeshiva. See, and the day your bar mitzvah, you'll get an aliyah. This is what a chaver of mine told me. He says, Pesach bein azmanim, when you'll go home, his parents say, then we'll celebrate your bar mitzvah. See. Now, today, if there's a bar mitzvah of a 14th cousin, this is a reason why to take children out of school or out of bar mitzvah. It's a 14th cousin getting married. This was his own bar mitzvah. And they were right. Why were they right? Simple. What's the celebration of the bar mitzvah? The celebration of the bar mitzvah is a person has now becomes obligated, min ha-Torah, to study Torah. So how's he going to celebrate it? By leaving Torah, going home, and making a l'chaim with the schnapps and the herring. See? But we don't understand this today. But they understood it. This was simple to them. See? Bar mitzvah. You'll get the aliyah and the yeshiva. Good. Fine. When you come home, bein azmanim, then we'll make the celebration. This is why they had the greatest yeshivas in the world. Not because they were so necessarily talented or geniuses. German Jewry had geniuses also. Hungarian Jewry had plenty of geniuses. See? But they didn't have this. See? Stories of women who carried on their backs their children to another town because that town had a yeshiva ktana. Her town only had a cheder, but that town had a yeshiva ktana. And she wanted to give everything she had that her son should learn Torah. See? So this is what we're speaking about here, the mitzvah of Vishinantum Levanecho.
The Yeshiva Gedola hopes that you have learned much from the presentation. For further information or to order additional shiurim, please contact the Yeshiva Gedola of Johannesburg. Visit us on the web at www.ygj.co.za or contact us via email at audio@yGj.co.za, via phone at 011-648-7906, via fax at 011-648-0085, and via post at PO Box 66226, Broadway 2020, Johannesburg, South Africa.